Welcome to the SpaceWesterns.com interview with Matt Black, the 2007 chair of the Brown Coat Ball. I'm the editor, Nathan E. Lilly. Matt Black has worked with various nonprofit organizations coordinating a variety of fundraising activities, including an annual Halloween haunted house. In the fandom community, he served as a chapter president and committee member for an international conference of Starfleet, the largest independent Star Trek fan club. He is an active member of the Pennsylvania Browncoats, a Firefly fan organization. Matt has also worked with former Galactic Entertainment, coordinating fandom activities for conventions in Hawaii, Connecticut, and Philadelphia. How did you get involved with the Browncoat movement?
I guess to answer the question of how I got involved in the Browncoat movement, I'd have to go back to how I discovered Firefly. I'm one of the rare few in Firefly fandom that actually watched it when it was on television. I saw promos for it that was coming on. I'm seeing science fiction. I'm seeing Joss Whedon. I'm thinking it can't be too bad. And I watched the first episode, The Train Job, and for about 55 minutes I was underwhelmed. I wasn't really sure what I was watching. And then he kicks the henchman into the engine. And I thought, all right, this show has some promise. So I followed the show along during the time that Fox tried so hard to sabotage the show. And I really did get hooked into it. I really started to really enjoy the program. And then all of a sudden it was gone. I started hearing online that Joss Whedon wanted to make a movie out of it. And I really didn't understand why he wouldn't let it die. I thought it was a neat concept. I've always enjoyed space westerns. And so I really enjoyed the concept, but I didn't understand why he wouldn't let it die. And then the DVD set came out. And I went out and I purchased the DVD set and I watched it from beginning to end the way it was intended, including the missing episodes. And then I got it. Then I really understood what Firefly was about and what it meant to be a brown coat. And so I started seeking out others like me online. I logged onto various forums and email lists, trying to find out any and all information I could about what other brown coats were doing, how they were celebrating their fandom, and what was going to be next for Joss Whedon and the crew of Serenity.
What was your first introduction to space westerns?
To my first recollection, my first introduction to space westerns was Star Wars. From the very first moment that movie came onto the screen, in spite of what everyone else thought, I knew it was a Western. It's just a classic Western storyline. And that film had a dramatic impact in my life. It spurred a lifelong interest in film that inspired me to go to film school and led to the career that I have now. And it all goes back to Star Wars, and it goes back to a space Western. But when I think about what a space Western is, I realize that it isn't necessarily the first space western I encountered. I look at Star Trek. Now, the original series of Star Trek had already come out, but it was in reruns when I was a kid, and I grew up with that. And that was originally Wagon Train to the Stars. Space, the final frontier. Right there in that slogan, frontier is the element of the space western.
What was your first introduction to Firefly?
My first introduction to Firefly was actually when it aired on television. I had seen one or two commercials for it. There wasn't a whole lot of promotion in advance, but I had seen some, so I knew to tune in. And I watched that first episode, and I wasn't sure about it at first, but it did hook me before the end of the episode.
What's the attraction to space westerns?
Now, that's a very interesting question. Science fiction in general is about the unknown, and space is obviously a great representation of that. I mean, it's dark, and you don't know what's out there, and it's expansive. And that's very analogous to the untamed frontier of the Old West. So there's a natural synergy there. But there's also the aspect of adventure that comes along with the Western. And that, you know, that matches up with science fiction themes as well.
What was the inspiration for hosting the Brown Coat Ball in Philadelphia?
Sheer insanity. When I first read online about the Brown Coat Ball, I thought this was a fabulous idea. I found out about it after the first one that happened in Chicago. And I read reviews of it, and I saw pictures of it, and I thought, hey, this is a great idea, sort of reenact the episode Shindig, and get together with a bunch of brown coats from all over the country, all over the world, if they're willing to travel, people that you haven't met before, without the distraction that you have at a regular convention. You know, it's not everyone clamoring to see the stars. It's not about buying the latest merchandise. It's about the fans. It's about the people. It's about meeting other brown coats. And brown coats are some of the nicest fans out there. So I thought, hey, you know, this would be great to do right here in our own town. I had long thought that Philadelphia would be a good destination on the East Coast for this sort of event, for any sort of fan event, because of being equidistant between New York and D.C. and Baltimore, sort of this mid-Atlantic sprawl that Philadelphia is sort of dead in the center of. So, I mean, if not for our own historical value, we have a geographical convenience and a fairly major airport. So I thought about bidding the year that San Francisco bid and won the bid. I actually found out about the Brown Coat Ball when I heard that there were 2 weeks left until the deadline for the 2006 bid. And so I got a few people together and we started putting together a bid for 2006. But we realized that 2 weeks really wasn't enough time to figure out, you know, all the logistics for an event to put together a solid bid. So we didn't bid in 2006, and it went to the folks in San Francisco. And it unfortunately just didn't work out for me to make it out to San Francisco for the actual event. But when it was time to bid for 2007, pulled the old plans out of the mothballs and got some more people involved. Got some of the same people involved from the first time. Got some new people involved. And we put in a bid. And apparently we did something right.
What is the Brown Coat Ball?
Did I mention sheer insanity? No, the concept for the Brown Coat Ball is fairly simple and yet really pretty elegant. At face value, it's inspired by the episode Shindig from Firefly. People dress up in their pretties and they dance. But it's much more than that. It's a shindig in the fashion, in a large scale, but in the fashion that brown coats across the country and around the world hold shindigs. It's just brown coats getting together and sharing something that they enjoy.
What events will be happening during the weekend?
The Brown Coat Ball is so much more than just a ball. It's more than just dancing. It's a banquet and dancing, but it's more than that. People are traveling from out of town. We're going to have a bunch of people who are coming to it locally, but then we're going to have people traveling in from Chicago and San Francisco and other places around the country. So it doesn't make sense for them to come in just for one evening, just for one meal, just for one night of dancing. So we make it into a whole weekend event. We don't want to make it like a convention. We don't want to bring stars in. We don't want to charge an outrageous admission in order to have stars there. We don't want to bring a whole bunch of dealers in and make it a commercial type event. So we want to make it a social event. And since a lot of these people may not have been to the host city, we try to combine the concept of doing things that would be related to the verse, that would be, you know, relevant to brown coats, but also bring out the historic aspects of the city itself. So on Friday night, we're having a welcome reception, and we're going to do that at a pool hall. For those of you out there who have seen the episode Shindig, you'll remember it starts, they're playing pool. So what better way to start the weekend? And Saturday morning, we're going to do a walking tour of historic Philadelphia. Among other things, we'll see the Liberty Bell, which I think you can see some symbolism between the Liberty Bell and the Independence in Firefly. We'll also do a tour of Chinatown. Then we will do a bus tour of other areas of Philadelphia. And this is where we've tried to make some choices. available to our attendees. There are four tracks of programming. There's a track that we call the Captain Track. People who select this track will get off the bus at the Franklin Institute Science Museum, and they'll have admission to the museum, and they'll get to explore the various general exhibits there. They have some science of spaceflight exhibits and an air show and a big damn heart. There's a lot of interesting things that you can do at that museum. Then there's the finery track, which stops, they'll get off the bus at the Philadelphia Museum of Art, and they can see all the pretties that are there. They can also run up the front stairs like Rocky if they want, because that famous motion picture was filmed there. Then there's the crew track, which takes the attendees to the Independence Seaport Museum. It's a showcase of nautical history, but there's also a destroyer and a submarine that are anchored there that you can get a tour of. And that's pretty much the closest thing on the Earth that is that's like walking around on a firefly. So I'm hoping some people take advantage of that tour. And then there's the Reaver track, which is a little on the gruesome side, but seems to be pretty popular with people. The bus will take them to the Mütter Museum, which is a collection of medical specimens of disease and deformities and oddities and medical equipment. It's part of a medical school. It was a private collection for many years, and now it is available both for the medical school for education purposes and for the public, ostensibly for educational purposes. But then there are some people who just like to look at weird stuff. It's a fairly small museum, so we're adding to the Reaver track a tour of the Edgar Allan Poe house. A lot of people know that Edgar Allan Poe lived in Baltimore for a time and did some writing there, but he also lived in Philadelphia for a time, and the house still stands. So we'll take people on a tour of that, just to round out the gruesome experience of the Reaver track. Then the bus will bring them back home to the hotel. We'll have some time to freshen up. Then we'll have a cocktail reception, the banquet. The Bedlam Bards will perform, and we will have a ball.
How can people register for the event?
People can register for the Brown Coat Ball online at www.browncoatball.com. There are a couple different registration options. The weekend pass that includes everything that I described is $150. There is a Saturday-only membership that includes the walking tour and the bus tour and the track programming as well as the banquet and ball. That's $100. Hotel rooms are available for those staying overnight. The base rate is $139 plus tax and occupancy. Parking is available at a discounted rate for people that are coming out just for the day for the ball. Regular rates apply if you're staying there for the weekend. T-shirts are also available from the website. We're going to have, I believe, two different designs of T-shirts this year.
What's the most important piece of information that you'd like people to know about the event right now?
Is that this is going to be one heck of a good time. It's going to be a shiny time. And if they don't come, and then they see pictures online, and see people writing about it in the forums, in the listservs online, they're going to regret that they weren't a part of it.
Can you let me in on any exclusive information, unknown insights, or trade secrets?
No, there are a couple things. I mean, we're planning a number of fun little events for people that are going to be there. We have sort of an intriguing networking activity that we're going to do during the ball itself that's going to tie into the decorations in the room as well as some things that attendees will be able to take away with them. Our hospitality suite is also going to have some unusual decoration that they're not going to want to miss. And the ball itself, we're going to do some costume judging and awarding prizes, and we're starting to collect those prizes and already have some interesting things in store for people. So it's worth putting some effort into your costume, into your wardrobe, and coming out and putting on your best.
What can we expect to see from you in the near future?
Well, the International Brown Coat Committee is reviewing bids for 2008, for the 2008 Brown Coat Ball, as we speak. And the winner will be selected in the next couple weeks and announced. So that's the big thing, is people can already start planning for the 2008 event. The 2007 event, which is just around the corner, is being hosted by the Pennsylvania Brown Coats. And we do activities year-round. We are available online at www.pabrowncoats.com to find out what's going on. We do events all over the state. It's not just centered around Philadelphia. We have an active group in the Harrisburg area. We have an active group out in the Pittsburgh area. We're seeing some growth in the Erie area and even in the Lehigh Valley area. So there's a lot of activity going on in Pennsylvania. And we're hoping to have a couple statewide activities coming up either yet later this year or early next year.